Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys, I gotta say, I love this the concept of Man Show.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with the David Dials, Don David.
I liked peeling off the like when you first get a bottle of whiskey and it's got this
that
little
top,
like this tab that you peel, and it because it's just so perforated.
Mm-hmm.
It just is a nice, like a satisfying
it feels
feeling
right
to peel it off.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
So I was really enjoying it that time.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, it is a, I'm really excited about this bottle of whiskey because it is very well known to be for sherried whiskey. If you like sherried whiskey.
And in my opinion, the funniest name of all the scotches.
Glenfarclas?
Mm-hmm.
Glenfarclas 12 is what we're drinking.
Every time you say it, it sounds to me like you're saying fartless.
Oh, okay.
It's the Glenfartless.
Okay. Quality stuff here.
I mean, like, come on. Everybody's thinking it. You say Glenfarclas, it sounds like Glenfartless.
Okay. All right. Well,
I wonder if the Scottish people know that.
I am very excited about it, though, because I like sherried whiskey. Like, I like the, it's typically sweet.
I do. I do like sweetness.
And it's a good change up from the heavy peated, you know, smoky mm-hmm. scotch.
You know what my favorite flavor in the world is?
No, I do not.
Sugar.
Is that a flavor?
Yes.
I don't
it's
think
a
it's,
flavor that has
I don't think
many
it's a flavor.
It's like a virtue. It has many sub
I don't feel like that it's
sub
a flavor
virtues.
At all.
There are many sub virtues of sugar. And I like all of them.
We're gonna talk about a sub virtue today.
Yes, I know.
Friendliness.
Friendliness.
And flattery.
And flatulence?
Oh, man. I kind of wish that our episode would have gone last night instead of tonight.
Well, it didn't.
Yeah. So we just sat here with Juan and Jim sitting here drinking a bottle of scotch.
Yeah.
Solving the world's problems.
And even now, we're still not live streaming.
No, because our internet...
Because Cox can't get it together.
Our internet is down. Hey, let's cheers. We're on the worst team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. Cheers. So it says that it's a space side, but everybody on the like on the interwebs really calls it a Highland. So I mean, you can you do it, you do you. You know, if you wanted to call it a space side, fine. We've talked about this before. How space sides and Highlands are very like.
What's the difference?
They're very very similar.
Right.
It's very hard to distinguish between the two. So it says it's a natural color with fresh, tempting nose that oozes sweetness. Full-bodied and delightfully sherried, long and flavorsome with a lingering spice.
The event is blowing on me right here, and when I went to smell it, the wind is like hitting me right in the face, just totally. I'm like trying to get out of the wind so I can smell it.
It definitely smells like a sherried whiskey.
Yeah, not a whole lot of aroma, nothing that, you know, like some of them.
Some
are very aromatic that really punch you in the face.
I get honey, wheat, a little raisin on the nose.
I smell AC. Air conditioning.
America. It is really, yeah. It is a very...
That is nice.
So there's a lot of guys that always ask us, they say, hey, what's a good whiskey to start out with? A good rule of thumb for a whiskey that, like, if you're just trying scotch for the first time, or you want to get a bottle that, you know, with a couple of buddies that you don't want it to be too aggressive. You have a couple of guys coming in that, like, they've never tried whiskey before.
Right.
Always, like, I always give kind of the same answer, which is go with a Highland scotch.
Mm-hmm.
If you really don't want to be adventurous, you know, go with a sherried bot, you know, sherried Oloroso cask, because it's going to be sweeter.
Easy to drink.
It's going to be easier to drink. It's going to be more of almost like a bourbon, because the Oloroso is sherry cask is sweeter like a bourbon. Bourbons are typically the sweet whiskeys.
Yeah.
So it's not as hard of a transition from a bourbon to a scotch. This Glenfarclas would be a great one to have.
And don't be afraid to water it down.
Yeah, that's
when
right.
When you're starting off.
That's right. We talked to Mark from Whiskey Cast.
Mm-hmm.
That was a few years ago now, probably.
Yeah, what did he say? Two parts water, one part scotch?
When you're first starting out.
If you're first starting out, yeah, don't be afraid to do that. You know, don't pour yourself a big glass.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, and don't just jump straight there. Maybe go 1-to-1, see how you do.
Yeah.
Also, here's a something that I realized at some point.
Okay.
You know, okay, so when I started drinking beer and whiskey, before that, I, you know, was a pop drinker. You know, high school, college, you know, like, let me throw down some Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And you drink Dr. Pepper much different, or pop, much differently than you would an alcoholic beverage. You know, so with Dr. Pepper, something real sweet, you're not afraid to take big old gulps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get it in me.
Mm-hmm.
So then with whiskey, I've told my wife this before, Lady Pamela, like, take really small sips, you know, and you just have to remember to do that. Because if you take a big sip, even now, if I take a big sip, big gulp of whiskey,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, it's like, ugh! That one was hard, you know, mm-hmm. that one kind of hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got to take a nice, small sip.
Yes, because and that way you can really take the flavor in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. How's baby Davey doing?
He's doing great.
Yes?
He's 3 weeks old. He's 3 weeks old as of yesterday, and he's already changed a lot. He's starting to get chubby already.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, you know how, like, sometimes their cheeks... like start to get chubby and like impedes their vision.
Oh yeah.
I caught a a glance of them today and I was like, it looks like your cheeks are starting to get in the way of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
They're cute.
Because yeah, I like a fat baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like a meaty,
chubby baby.
Like, yeah, like our last daughter, Bernadette, she was like a scarecrow baby the whole time. She's always just super skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But I like a meaty baby you can
cuddle.
Just really like
hug and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Just like you squeeze him and it's like, that's so much baby. You know what I'm saying?
You're in a weird mood tonight. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's the truth. I've always felt that way about babies.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah.
But also, last episode, we were talking about, I want to make a correction.
Ooh, okay. Is it something I said or you said?
No. Yes. We were talking about the price of how much it costs to have a will done.
Oh, yes.
And I said it was like a couple thousand. And I believe that I was getting that confused with a trust. A trust will typically cost several thousand dollars, depending on how complicated it is and what kind of trust, because there are all kinds. A will is going to be like it's going to be under $1,000, almost assuredly, like even as low as $200 or $300. So I just want to clear that up.
Yeah, because when you told me that, I was like, well, I'm not doing it.
But now you might.
But now I may.
You should.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Yeah. So that is a good clarification.
Yeah.
And we have our loyal listeners who always are eager to
Yeah, and I always appreciate it that when someone mm-hmm. messages me something like, hey, I just want to let you know, once again, you don't know what you're talking about.
But I really appreciate
your
show.
Totally irresponsible. You have a show and people listen to you and they think you know what you're talking about and you don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really appreciate your show.
Right. But keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any 4th of July traditions?
Fireworks.
That's a good one.
Usually bleeding.
Bleeding.
Yeah, that's a kind of a 4th of July tradition. It used to be more.
What about like lentils and suitcases? Do you have that tradition?
I know a guy.
That's the New Year's, though. That's not 4th of July.
That's true. Yeah. There are no Venezuelan 4th of July traditions. Yeah.
You have handmade ice cream.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll make my mom has this antique ice cream maker, you know, with a real crank. Mm-hmm. It's a white horse. It's like someone tried to buy it from her for like $300 one time because apparently it's like rare. Mm-hmm. And it's 8 quarts.
Oh, wow.
It makes 2 gallons of ice cream.
Nice.
All at once. And so it's like, at the very end, it takes a real man to keep turning that crank,
yeah.
Right? So we'll usually make some ice cream. We used to do crazy things like shoot bottle rockets at each other. And
glad you don't do that anymore.
We had all these PVC pipes that we would like stomp into the ground to plug up one end and then light a bottle rocket and drop it down the tube and then like hold it like a bazooka and shoot them at each other.
Wow.
That kind of stuff. It used to get real.
Dude, my dad makes a delicious homemade banana ice cream on 4th of July. Very ripe bananas.
No doubt.
Very ripe bananas. Yeah. Will yield you very good banana ice cream.
Good to know.
So when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jim Spencer, a.k.a. Jimbo Baggins, man in the door. We're drinking a little bit of Glenfarclas.
Mm-hmm.
You decide what you heard when I said that. You know what? You make up your own mind. It is really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
It has a nice long finish.
Apparently, it's about $50. I don't remember because I bought it like a month ago. Yeah. And
who can remember things from that long ago?
Right. Not me.
What am I, Wikipedia?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's like ridiculous.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Anyway, man gear.
Man gear today. So, you know, 4th of July is this weekend. I thought it would be a good, mm-hmm. a lot of times a mm-hmm. tradition in the 4th of July is barbecue, you know,
yeah.
grilling and
blowing stuff up.
blowing stuff up, obviously, yeah, but with your family. And so, you know, it's always fun to talk. Like, I always love talking about barbecue. It's smoking, yeah, sure, you know, briskets and pork and things like that. And so one of the main, you know, and when you have everybody over, it's just so much fun and like exciting to like take on almost that burden of preparing all like the food.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get it. I can't think of very many things that I like get almost excited about still waking up at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
to put meat on the grill. Yeah. Like I don't enjoy getting up that early, but I get up and I'm like, okay, yes, I'm going to do this. I have this mission to take care of, you know, and
it's going
to
be awesome.
It's going to be so good. The reward is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that is always needed whenever you're smoking meat or you're, you know, even just grilling in general, especially like thicker pieces of meat, burgers,
well,
you don't need
grilling,
to.
You don't, you probably don't.
It's nice to have.
But if you're smoking, for sure.
Right. It's still nice to have with grilling, like especially if you're like just grilling like a big, you know, loin or something like that. It's still good to know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking like a...
Not burgers.
Like
or
a steak.
Oh.
You know, like, or a big pork chop or something.
It's easy to kind of dictate with steaks.
Yeah. Unless okay, that's like, what I was thinking. Like, no, I don't think you should be using it's a meat thermometer.
Right. I'm sorry. That's
what we're talking about.
Right.
And I was going to say, I don't think you should be using a meat thermometer if you're grilling a steak of some kind, whether it's pork, beef, typically, whatever, because you just need to hone and refine the craft of knowing,
grilling a
you
steak.
Know, you can kind of just give it a feel.
So if you put your thumb over your index finger, mm-hmm, and you push right in that meaty part, yeah, of your hand, that's what like medium feels like. And so that's what your steak should feel like.
Yeah, okay, I don't do it that way. I do, like, if you just touch this finger...
Well, people don't.
Your ring finger, mm-hmm, don't squeeze, just touch.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of like medium well. The touch the
tendon part or the muscle part?
Middle finger, right, still touching in that muscly part. Mm-hmm. That's medium. Touch your index finger, and that's medium rare.
Oh, that's a good way to do it. I like, mm-hmm, that way. So, anyway, the...
I just look at it and I know.
Yeah, Juan knows, but he's a...
Juan will just smell it.
Yeah.
No, it's just so perfect.
My dad got this awesome thermometer, meat thermometer. It's called a Meater, M-E-A-T-E-R.
Yeah.
And it's a wireless Bluetooth smart meat thermometer. And what's really cool about it is it's just one thermometer. You put it in and it has two sensors on it.
Like, you want both. You really, yeah, do want both.
You really do want both. Yeah. So it has two sensors on it, right? It has one that goes like that's for inside the meat, and then it has out on the outside what the outside temperature of the grill is.
Right.
And so what you do
because
is,
you just cannot trust. I know it's like your
dial on the top.
Yeah. The dial on your grill. It doesn't matter how new your grill is or how nice the dial is. That dial is always wrong. As much as like 50 degrees, just because it's so much lower, it's so much higher above the grilling surface, you know, like, cause right, when you're grilling, you don't want to know temperature. What's the temperature 12 inches above the grilling surface? Mm-hmm. Cause just open the lid, put your hand 12 inches higher and then put your hand right at the grilling surface. It's a drastically different temperature, right?
Sure, sure, sure.
So yeah, you need a thermometer that's really at the level of the food that you're cooking.
Mm-hmm. And so what's really cool about this one is that you download the app and it has these algorithms in there where you pick which type of meat you're smoking,
mm-hmm,
and you set, it'll tell you, here's what the meat is currently. Then you set like, here's your target temperature. And then it gives you the outside temperature and it dictates to you basically, here's how long it's going to take based on the information that we have. How long it's going to take to get to your target temperature, which is always the key, right? Because the frustrating thing about smoking meat, like a brisket or a pork shoulder, is that it says, okay, typically 60 to 90 minutes per pound. You know, that's typically how long you smoke, you know,
right,
whatever the poundage is, it's 60 to 90 minutes.
Depending on the meat, right.
Right. And so you add it, you know, you do the math and you're like, okay, I need it to be for 12 hours. And like you get there at 12 hours and then it has to have an hour of rest afterwards. So you do all the math, you line it up, you let it rest, you open it up and it's like, no, it's not done yet.
Yeah.
I followed the rules and it's still, mm-hmm, not done.
Yep.
The thermometer really helps.
Or what happens to me. Yeah. Because I always go on not how long has it been on the grill, but what is the internal temperature? Because, mm-hmm, that will really tell you. It doesn't actually matter how long it's been on the grill. And so what happens to me is like, okay, it should be done in 12 hours in your scenario.
Right.
12 hours come and it's not done.
Right.
And like, I can't tell you how many times I've been smoking something and it's, you know, like 7:30. I was planning on this thing being done at 5, and it's 7:30.
And it's still not
and
done.
Still is not done. And I'm having to like crank up the heat a lot and, or maybe put it in the oven, you know.
Or you don't like give it a chance to rest, which is a big.
Yeah. You just can't because like the natives are restless.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And, yeah, you have a bunch
like,
of...
like, we got to eat.
Yeah, you have people over. Everybody's like waiting.
I'm getting restless.
Yeah, you know? I'm very hungry.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's a frustrating part, right, is whenever you put all this time and effort into it and you want it to yield a delicious meal that you get to share with all your family and friends, but you
so
don't
does
have
it give
time.
You like live updates on your ETA?
Yes, it as it goes, like let's say the internal temperature of your grill goes down, it then reallocate like over a period of time. Like,
right.
I don't know what the time frame is, but let's say the grill temperature goes down, it will recalculate based on that.
Sort of like Google Maps when you're driving somewhere, it'll tell you like
similar
what time you're gonna get there.
So I don't know if I've told you this on the show or not, but it's worth retelling anyway.
Okay.
Here's a delicious recipe of smoking pork loins for the 4th of July.
Tell me.
So you take a block of cream cheese, dice up a bunch of jalapenos, put in cheddar cheese, and you can put in different kinds of spices or whatever, you know, whatever tickles your fancy in that aspect.
Okay.
Mix it all up. You take the pork, you take the tenderloin, you cut it straight down the middle, you fillet it, and then you put all those cream cheese stuffing inside.
Yeah.
Wrap it back up, put toothpicks through it, set it on the grill. Now, if you want to up your game, you can do the bacon wrapped on top of that. But here's what I don't like about the bacon wrapped. Now, this is almost heretical for me because I'm a bacon guy, right?
I know.
But I've played this game both ways, and I like the tenderloins without the bacon wrapped. Here's why. What happens is whenever you smoke a tenderloin, most of the time the bacon on the outside gets nice, crispy, cooked. But on the inside of the tenderloin, it's not cooked. It's raw. And so it doesn't taste like...
it's not going to be raw, but it's not going to be crispy.
It's not cooked. It's not cooked. On the inside, it's like, it's not cooked.
Well, if the inside of the pork tenderloin itself is cooked, then the inside of that inner side of the bacon is going to be cooked. But it's not going to have that crisp...
It just
sensation.
It just doesn't taste as well. Oh, I forgot to mention also what I do is I take on the outside of the tenderloin, I take sriracha sauce and brown sugar and mix that up and then cover the outside with the sriracha brown sugar. So it gives it a little bit of spice, a little bit of sweetness.
I like sriracha.
Uh-huh. And it's a nice glaze that goes on the top of it. So if you're looking for something cool, and it's actually very hard to mess up because picked pork tenderloins, you can probably... with the cream cheese in the middle, it doesn't really dry out.
Yeah, it's not gonna.
So you can like put that on there and leave it on for quite a while. You're not gonna dry it out even longer than what it says. The math says you'll be just fine. But it's
they don't take that long anyway.
No, they're only like about 4 hours.
Yeah,
and that's a big difference than like a brisket or something like that. That's 13, 16 hours that you have to smoke. So if you're looking for something cool to do for the 4th of July, you're having people over, your family over, whatever, I highly recommend it. It's easy to do. It's cool because most people haven't tried it before. You know, a lot of people haven't tasted, you know, it's kind of new, fun, cool. That's what I like to do also, is like have something unique that a lot of people haven't tried before.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's just cool about it. It just adds to the hospitality of like having people over, you know, and just like,
yeah,
you know,
totally. You can give him something like
to talk about.
Yeah, unique. And, you know, you can't get this other place. It's like good.
Right. I mean,
good hospitality.
You know, the analogy of, you know, like we enjoy a scotch for taking the time, the labor that's involved, you know, to make this scotch. You sip it, you take it, you know, a little bit at a time, you enjoy it. You know, it's kind of similar way. It's the labor of love. You sit down and enjoy it with family and friends.
So I thought of a 4th of July tradition that we do.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll do the fireworks just at my parents' house. They're outside city limits. And so, you know, we'll usually get people over, shoot off fireworks. After the fireworks, all the men stand up and sing God Bless America to the women, for the women. And that's a good tradition.
That is a good tradition. I forgot. Sometimes we've gone over to your house for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And I forgot.
And all the men, you know, we're all out there in the yard. And the men stand up, turn around, and sing sing for the ladies.
Yeah, I like that. Also, if you're...
We need to incorporate more song into our just gatherings, into like our... When we get together,
remember what in Christmas time like we used to go and like
caroling.
Caroling.
I thought about that this last year,
and it was like, as kids, like we went on our small faith groups
to go to each other's houses and stuff. And carol. Yeah,
it's like we don't do that anymore.
That's, nobody does that.
No
anymore.
No one does that anymore. So in fact, like I think it'd be weird for some people.
Yeah,
like you know what? People, embrace the weirdness.
And people would come out outside it. With a shotgun. What are you doing? Yeah. I don't want to buy any.
Yeah,
it's a no soliciting neighborhood.
Yeah. When we get back, we're going to talk about friendliness, flattery, and fatherhood. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of Glenfarclas 12-year single malt scotch whiskey. Just got done talking about the meter plus. There's a meter and a meter plus. The plus has some advantages. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I read the differences yesterday, because this is what we were going to talk about.
But who can remember that far back?
That far back is ridiculous.
What am I, Wikipedia?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
That's a good joke that I've never made before.
So anyway, it's $100, but it's well worth it. Stainless steel. Go check one out. We're not sponsored by them at all.
It's $100.
Yep.
That is a lot of money for a meat thermometer. I got mine off Amazon. It was like the Amazon brand or something. For $15, dual probe.
Nice.
Wireless.
Nice.
It's tough to...
Tough to beat that.
Tough to pay $100 for a nice one.
Yeah.
When you can get... it's lasted me. In fact, it just broke. I had it for like 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
If I could get it again, I would. I'm going to see if I can.
Yeah. Nice.
Because I'm not... I'm not wealthy, okay? Yet.
So today, we're going to talk a little bit about friendliness and flattery.
You know, it would be really friendly if you gave me $100 right now.
I'm not going to. Then hopefully we're going to talk about like what St. Thomas Aquinas says about these, and then hopefully we apply it to fatherhood. So it's interesting that friendliness, St. Thomas says, is a sub-virtue of justice.
That is interesting.
And, you know...
I'm not sure like what I would have thought friendliness would be a sub-virtue of. First of all, I'm not sure I would have thought friendliness, that must be a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it is, because it's a action you could have, be in the habit of doing. You know, it's a good
habit.
Being cheerful with people, you know?
But St. Thomas makes this...
What would you have thought it would be? Charity, but that's, you can't say charity. That's cheating.
Yeah.
Everything's a virtue.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The answer is Jesus.
Cheez-Its?
No, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. But it's interesting because he makes this, when he's talking about this friendliness being a sub-virtue of justice, he says it is, but it's not a full sub-virtue of justice, because he says justice, you know, is rendering what's due to another person.
Okay.
And friendliness in and of itself is a form of being, like, rendering to do so. Like, an example would be if I said, please pass me the salt. Okay, you pass me the salt, and I say thank you.
And I would say it is right and just.
Now, do I really have, is it, like, do I owe you the justice of saying thank you?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is, you know, you pass a stranger, are they owed friendliness?
Right, so...
Does he make comments on that, like, explaining that it is a, like...
Yes.
I could just pass by and say nothing to you.
Sure, but...
And that's not being friendly. It's not necessarily being rude. It depends on the circumstance. But like, if I pass by and say nothing, have I is this a violation of justice because I wasn't friendly?
I don't know the answer to that. But basically,
yeah, don't say anything, because we've had to make too many corrections lately.
Recently. Yeah. So I don't want to misspeak. But you know, basically, what it, you know, you said, like, do you have the example of, like, do you have, like, injustice have to say thank you whenever they pass you the salt? I mean, it could be for manners.
Well, so that I would say, I can see that. They passed you the salt. Mm-hmm. You should say thank you, because they did something and they are, like, owed.
Right. So this is what St. Thomas says, is like, it's not necessarily like an ode of complete like rendering what's due to them. So yeah. but he does say friendliness, basically, he doesn't say this, but basically what he's saying is that friendliness helps grow society, right? It behooves man to be friendly to another person, to the other man, to help grow society, right?
Okay.
Now, obviously, when you are doing this, like, you're going to have different levels of friendliness with different people. If you have an authentic friend, that is a different level of friendliness than, let's say, just a person that you're passing by the street.
Right. If one of your friends is just like better looking than your other friends, you know, maybe you'll be nicer to them.
Okay. Yeah. But what he does, but it's, what's interesting about friendliness,
that's why everyone's so nice to Juan.
That's why everybody's super nice to Juan.
And Jim.
But what he does say, I think it's interesting about friendliness, is he says there's a positive and almost a negative to it. So like the positive, we talk about like smiling at somebody, being friendly to somebody, being approachable, having a joy about you as a Christian. You have a joy about you.
Yep.
But there's also being friendliness of, he says, bringing sorrow to somebody for the sake of the good.
Mm.
Which is very interesting, right? So like, if you are doing something wrong, I call you out.
Mm-hmm.
In a prudent, appropriate manner.
In front of a whole lot of people.
In front of a whole lot of people. Right. Right. Yeah.
Including their mom.
But in order to have, for the sake of the good.
Okay.
So he says, if you don't do it, then you are violating, you know, friendship or friendliness.
Mm.
So if you don't take the time to do that,
right,
you're violating friendliness, which is very
because
interesting.
People, we definitely, in our culture today, it seems like,
Don't be confrontational.
Right. That's not being friendly. The friendly thing is just, don't say anything. Just let them be who they are. And, you know.
So I'll quote him right here on this. He says, the virtuous man will sometimes not shrink from bringing sorrow to those among whom he lives. For this reason, he should not show a cheerful face to those who are given to sin in order that they may please them, lest we seem to consent to their sin and in a way encourage them to sin further.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, you're your brother's keeper, right? So you can't allow them to continue sinning if you truly love them. You know, this is the charity.
That is so hard to do. I mean,
it definitely is.
That is, I think, one of the hardest for me anyway, like.
But I think that is, that
it's
shows,
so hard to do.
I think that shows whenever you can get to the authentic, you know, there's the three levels of friendship that Aristotle talks about. When you get to the authentic level of friendship,
mm-hmm.
and you are, even if you don't necessarily call them out in the proper way, like maybe you're a little too aggressive, maybe you're a little too angry, or maybe you're too emotional, or you're too eager to call them out.
Mm-hmm.
But because the person who's being called out knows, like, no, this guy cares about me. He loves me for my good. I'm going to take this, even though he may not be doing it right. And I should take it with, open-heartedly, you know, and know that he's calling me out because he cares about me. And when you can do that with another, you know, with another friend, mm-hmm. I think that really shows the level of authentic friendship. Where it's not getting necessarily offended. Pride hopefully doesn't get in the way too much to a point.
And you know, like, you reach that level where you think, I'm going to tell you this even if it means you don't like me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
it's because I care about you.
Because an authentic friendship is one where you love the other for their sake. Right. You don't love them for something that a benefit that you get from it. Even though you might get benefits, you most certainly do get benefits from that kind of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But those don't matter to you. You just love them for them.
Right.
And so whether you hate me now, that's okay. I still want to be a good friend. And I'm going to tell you this.
Mm-hmm. So if you, you know, friendliness is maybe the virtue, it's in the middle. If you swing to one side of the extreme, it would be flattery. And flattery, you know, St. Thomas says, if a man were to wish always to speak pleasantly to others, he would exceed the mode of pleasing and would therefore sin by excess.
Mm.
You know, if he does this with the mere intention of pleasing, as he said, to be complacent, according to the philosopher. So like he is saying basically, if you are flattering somebody to the point of just to flatter them, you are sinning in excess.
Let me ask you this. What if you're a single person,
mm-hmm.
trying to pursue a young lady.
Well, okay. So to flatter somebody, this context, mm-hmm. is distorting the truth.
Okay.
So you're telling, it's almost like the opposite of it's almost like a lie. It
is a lie.
Right. You're distorting
the
truth.
That's what a lie is. The truth is distorted. Right.
Right. You know, so you're building them up, falsely.
Okay.
And so, there's ways of being able to flatter somebody in a good, you know, in telling the truth. But if you continue going on and on in excess, mm-hmm. that's the sin that brings on a sin. And St. Thomas actually talks about whether or not it's a mortal sin or a venial sin. We don't really have time to go into that. We'll do that after the show. You can check it out on YouTube. We'll post it on YouTube. But he gives three ways of when it can be a mortal sin and mm-hmm. one way when it can't. But it's really interesting because in the Inferno, Dante puts flatterers lower in the lower levels of hell than murderers.
Really?
Yes. Yes, he does, which is very interesting, I think, because it says this appears to be because flattery is a form of treachery. Okay, and so it's, you know, like Socrates.
Yeah, he did put traitors,
lower than murder. So it's
traitors were the lowest,
right? So Socrates, the example of the cave. They're in the cave. Yeah. The wall. There's yeah. shadows. Guy goes out. He experiences reality. He comes back and tells him the truth. Like, guys, the reality is not on the cave wall. The shadows are not reality. Mm-hmm. Reality is out there. Well, what happens?
They don't believe him.
And they kill him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's this understanding. Like, it's the same way with Jesus, right? He tells he comes and tells everybody, like, no, we're not living for this life. We're living for the next life. Mm-hmm. The kingdom is not of this world. It's of the next. Mm-hmm. And what do?
They killed him.
They killed him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's this this artificial reality that you're building up in flattery, that it's this like fake reality that happened.
And
like,
it also, I think probably is so harmful because you are implanting the seed of pride in another person.
Absolutely. So when we get back on the other side of this break, we'll kind of take these principles and apply them to fatherhood. And then after the show, we'll talk a little bit more. I'd like to talk a little bit more about get deeper into flattery and things like that. So, on the Lord's
team. The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jimbo Baggins. Adam, have I ever told you that you have the best hair of anybody I've ever known?
No.
Just, your hair is just gorgeous, and I just really have always admired it about you. And I also just really am impressed with so many of the things that you do other than just with your hair. And I really think that you're underrated as a person by the world.
Thank you for that flattery. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I was wondering where you were going with that at first.
I mean those things.
Yeah. Well, you get to go to confession.
Right. Well, you're a sinner.
Yeah. Okay. So we kind of laid the groundwork on this, and I wanted to take it. That's what Aquinas says about friendliness and flattery.
Okay. Now let's bring it down.
But let's bring it down to fatherhood, and this can go for whether you're a priest. Any type of father, your spiritual father, an actual biological father, I think you can take this for any of it. So I think that a lot of times mm-hmm. we see dads nowadays build up their kids artificially, flatter their kids to the point of like, listen, little Timmy is the best soccer player. Mm-hmm. He is the best of all, like, or he's actually the best at soccer, and he's going to go into the Little League World Series. He's also going to be playing basketball and football. He's going to be doing debate, and he's on drumline. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. We've got him in a robotics class.
Yeah. I mean, and he's just every, you know, mm-hmm. and what happens when you do that as a dad is you, you instill in them a false identity of themselves, right? Because eventually what's going to happen, if your dad is sitting there telling you, like, you're the best at, you're the smartest kid in your class, and you think I'm the smartest kid in my class, and then you have an inevitable downfall. You no longer are the smartest kid in your class.
Right. You say something dumb in front of everybody and realize
fall. Mm-hmm. And you've built your whole identity on this idea that I am, and now you are not.
Mm-hmm. And you realize that you're not, and so you don't know who you are anymore.
Right. Father Mike Schmitz had a great homily this last week when he talked about, loving Christ over everybody else, right? And eventually we're all going to lose everything, right? You know, we're going to lose our looks. We're going to lose eventually, our loved ones at some point in time.
Yeah.
We're going to lose our house. You know, when we die, you lose your money, you lose your house, you lose all these different, your job, like you get fired, you lose all these things that if you build your identity in these things, mm-hmm. you are nothing.
Right.
You lose it and you become nothing. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, we know that we build ourselves, we identify ourselves as sons and daughters of God. And so, which Christ is everything. Mm-hmm. And so if we make sure that we orient ourselves in our identity of building ourselves up in Christ, then regardless of what downfalls come in our lifetime, which we know are going to happen, this world is not perfect, obviously. There's going to be downfalls. So if you build yourself up in Christ, like Father Mike Schmitz was talking about, it's everything. And it doesn't matter what you lose all these other things, because they're nothing compared mm-hmm. to Christ.
Right.
And so I think that it's really tough for us as dads, at least for me. This podcast is probably more about
a
self-reflection of me, making sure that I don't do mm-hmm. this. Because I get very caught up in wanting my sons to be the best at whatever it is.
Sure. Of course.
I think there's a healthy part of that.
We should all want that for our sons, for our daughters, for ourselves.
But you don't want to distort it into thinking that that's their identity, right?
Well, it's so hard with kids because, children are just potential. You know, they're almost all 100% potential, all of the things that they
are just trying to actualize the potential.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like as they grow, they will make choices that will eliminate some of their potential and bring other elements of that potential closer to reality. Okay. Mm-hmm. What summer camp do they go to? I mean, just like, all the little choices,
who are their friends,
Exactly. How much time do they spend playing video games versus playing outside versus with friends? So it's so hard because on the one hand, you don't tell your kids you can be anything you want, because that's just not true. Mm-hmm. They can't be anything that they want. Every kid wants to be an astronaut, and almost none of them are.
Dude, you wanted to be a
trash man.
Trash man growing up.
I'm not.
And so
I wasn't good enough.
Right.
But so it's just so hard. And this is where virtue is important, because it's the middle road. Because another mistake a lot of people think, I think dads especially, is they do the opposite, where they put down, a lot of dads put down their kids, especially in the realm of sports. You should have done this. You didn't mm-hmm. do this right. You know, mm-hmm. like kids, they hate the ride home from the soccer game.
Right.
Because dad the whole way just rides them, saying, like, you should have
done this.
Here's all the stuff. Like, I took notes about all the mistakes you made, And meanwhile, the kid's like, Dad, we won. Like, can't you just be happy we won? Like, I scored the most points.
Right.
So you have to balance that. And it's so hard to do because it's like, how do you even know? This is one of those things where, how do you even know if you're doing it? Because on the one hand, we want to be pushing our kids. We want to
push them for excellence.
Make sure that they know you need to always strive to be better. Mm-hmm. If you can do better, you should do better.
Right. And this is like the when we were talking about friendliness, right? Like the aspect of, you make sure you're uplifting, you're positive, you're joyful, you're cheerful, but you're also willing to call out, and do sorrowful, bring on sorrow to that person for the sake of the good.
Yeah.
Like, I have to sometimes, when I discipline my kids, I bring sorrow to them, but it's not because for the sorrow itself, it's for the greater good.
Right.
You know, when we have, you know, when priests are up giving a homily or something like that, you know, they sometimes maybe call out the congregation, but they're doing it for the greater good, to sanctify their congregation.
Yeah.
And so it's important to remember that we have to go both sides. And I think that nowadays, I think that I agree there's a lot of guys who ride their kids, but I think there's more families who make their kids soft.
I think lately that has become more of a trend, you know, right, with the participation trophies.
The pendulum always swings, right?
Yeah, it does. It goes back and
forth. And so what happens whenever you do that is you create effeminate children.
Yeah.
You create soft children,
mm-hmm,
who never experience downfall, who never experience losing, who never experience like getting kicked.
Who never have to do any chores.
Right. And that's not real life.
Right.
And as a father, you know, we protect, we provide, and we establish. That third tier is the established part, mm-hmm, making sure that your kids know that, hey, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, you only protect and provide so that you can establish.
Right.
Establishing is the end of the protecting and the providing. Yeah.
Right. And so, Jose Maria Escriva says a saint is a sinner who keeps trying. And if we don't instill this, this trait of resilience, of getting back up again, then when they fall, they're gonna crumble.
So I think the trick is to, because this friendliness, you know, part of it is building up. It's not just challenge. It's also, there has to be both the positive reinforcement. You know, it's like, son, you did great. I was so proud of you today. So I think the important thing is to focus not on outcomes, but on inputs.
Okay.
You know, it's more important that they gave it their all, that they strove for excellence in what they were doing, than did they win? Was it the desired outcome?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, in whatever situation. So, because I think if they are doing that, if they're giving everything that they have to give, or giving an appropriate, mm-hmm, whatever the situation calls for,
mm-hmm,
then that's there has to be reinforcement in that, so that they know, yes, you won. This was it. You won today. Whether you won or lost the game,
mm-hmm,
you won, like, yourself.
Well, and Dr. Ray Guarini talks about how, like, you don't necessarily talk about the person. You talk about the actions. So when you're reinforcing, reinforcing the actions, because the person is good. It's made.
People are always good. There's no bad person on the planet.
Right. They're made in the image and likeness of God. And so you never, like, talk about, like, you're a bad person.
Right.
Like, you know, no, it's the action that you did was bad. And so.
Even liberals.
And so you make sure that, you know, you're focusing your children on, you're focusing when you're reinforcing or you're bringing sorrow, you're bringing it upon the action and not the child themselves, because they're intrinsically good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, but that doesn't mean that the stuff they do is good.
Right. Good people do bad things.
Right.
And so you have to make sure to reinforce as a dad that you discipline your kids in the right way and encourage them in the right ways.
Yes. Yeah, and especially, like, different children have different temperaments. I just know, like, my oldest daughter, positive reinforcement works wonders on improving her behavior, whereas it doesn't have as much of an impact on my other daughters. Well, you know, my son is TBD, but mm-hmm, that's just something you should know about your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are they going to respond to certain things?
Yes.
You got to be in tune.
And you have to be on the same page with your wife.
Right.
And that's, those are conversations that
you have
to have.
In fact, she probably knows already. You should just go ask her.
Right. And, you know, and then make sure you guys are on the same page. So that way, whenever you do discipline, that there's no shocks, you know, shocking things that mm-hmm happen. And that leads to bad things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean,
but there are so many, I've heard this so many times, adult men who said, like, their dad never said, like, congratulations, good job, I'm proud of you, I love you. Like, they never encouraged them their entire life.
Right.
Don't be that dad.
Don't be.
I mean, like, you're failing as a dad if that's who you are.
Yeah, because we're the earthly image of God, our
right,
Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally.
Right.
And so if you're not showing that, then how is he going to know the Father in
right
heaven?
Don't let... Yeah, exactly. That's a weakness on your part. Don't pass it on to your kids.
Right. So anyway, the second part of the second part, question 115, if you want to go check all that out on flattery.
Seconda.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
These are unprecedented times for our world, our nation, and our faith. Cities are being burned. The debate rages over our national identity, and a global pandemic has shut down our parishes and deprived the faithful of the sacraments. Times like these can challenge our faith and our hope. Now more than ever, Catholics need to utilize technological advances to strengthen their faith. Endorsed by faithful bishops and cardinals, Breadbox Media is answering this need by providing on-demand podcasting that is faithful to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. Our podcasts let you nurture your faith at any location, at your convenience, and at no cost. We are able to provide this free service because of the generosity of our donors. Would you consider giving a donation today to support this vital ministry? Not only is your donation tax-deductible, but you will be helping to transform hearts, minds, and our culture for Christ. Donations can be made by going to breadboxmedia.com. Thank you, and may God bless you.